morning I want to talk about the gift of giving. Giving. So Thanksgiving's over, right? We're past that. We've sat around the table, we've given thanks for the loved ones and the people and friends that we had around our table. We gave thanks to the Lord for all that He gave to us, I hope. We also thanked Him for the ups and downs throughout the year. Again, here we are coming to the end of 2016. We all begin to think, oh, you know, all those things that happened in the year, all the things that God allowed us to do. Again, the good and the bad, the ups and the downs, all of those things taught us something. All of those things equipped us for the future. And so we must be thankful for those things. But now we focus our attention on Christmas, and please don't throw anything at me, but you know, there's only 4 weeks left. And I'm probably speaking more to the men than I am to the women right now, but only 4 weeks left to get all of our shopping done, to have our list in hand, and make sure we check off getting all those items for our loved ones that we have. 4 weeks, 28 days, the clock is ticking. Good Friday is past. Cyber Monday's coming. I don't know if you know that that exists. Everybody shops online these days, don't they? I don't know. A lot of people went to Cool Springs Mall this weekend. If you've ever been in that area, I would avoid it for the next 4 weeks. It's very busy. But no, listen, this time is called the most wonderful time of the year. But why is it sometimes it feels like the most stressful time of the year? Do you get stressed out during this time? Oh, it's fun to decorate, it's fun to have meals, it's fun to have friends and family over, but sometimes it can be a stress. Am I going to be able to get everything on my kid's list? Am I going to be able to get that gift for my friend? Am I going to have enough money at the end of the year? Or maybe even thinking, man, when January comes, I got to start paying all the bills. I mean, it can be very stressful. So in order for us to really allow this to be the most wonderful time of the year, our focus must be right. Our focus must be correct. Because if our focus is on the gifts that we must get, the gifts that we must wrap, the gifts that we must ship, and the gifts that we must return, and we're missing it. It won't be the most wonderful time of the year. It will be the most stressful time of the year because there's never enough time. And I say it every year. Thanksgiving came really quick this year. And Christmas is going to be here before we know it. And there's only so much time left. And so for us to be a giving people, we must keep the focus on really what this time of year is. It's about the celebration of the birth of our Savior. About Jesus Christ coming down as a baby to bring salvation to our lives. And if our focus is there, the gifts, the wrapping, all of those things that still come along with it, it becomes a little bit more easier. It puts it in perspective. It takes planning. It takes organizing. We must do those things, but let's keep the focus where it needs to be. Let's not lose that focus, and let us make it the most wonderful time of the year where we celebrate the birth of our Savior. See, we give gifts at Christmas because God, at the very first Christmas, gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would have everlasting life. God was the initial giver. And certainly we remember the kings bringing the gifts to baby Jesus. And so we gift these things to each other to show our love for each other. Our gifting to each other should be out of motivation of love. And is that the heart this morning? See, when we get a gift or when we give a gift, it's communicating something. It's communicating that I took the time to think about you, to pray for you, and to think, what's that one gift that's going to bless them? And that's really the focus. So this gift of giving, I want us to have that heart this year. I want us to have the focus to be certainly on the greatest gift that was ever given to us, but to be like our Savior and be like our God and be giving people, generous people. That's what we're called to be as Christians. See, we're not like the world. We don't just go out and buy stuff so that we can give someone stuff. No, there's a message behind it. And I think, I don't know, maybe there needs to be men's ministries that equip men to buy gifts for their wives. Because we're not good at it. Or I'm not. Maybe that's it. Giving needs to be with the right heart. Giving needs to be with the correct attitude. And giving needs to be with the proper perspective. Are you a giving person? Are you a giving person? That'll be the answer at the end of this message. You hopefully will come to this conclusion. I am a giving person, or I need to be a giving person. See, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is speaking to the church of Corinth. And he's in Macedonia right now. He's with the Macedonians, and he's on his way to Jerusalem, but he's going to stop by Corinth. And Corinth, the Corinthian church has been saying, hey, we're making a collection for the needs of the body. We're gathering some funds, some resources for the church that's in need. And as Paul's coming through there, he sends this letter ahead, says, listen, I'm coming. I've been telling everyone how generous of a gift you're going to provide, and I want to make sure that you're ready. And so he's sending this letter ahead of time and to communicate to them, we're coming. Make sure your gift is generous. Otherwise, you're going to be embarrassed. And it's this gift of generosity that is truly the heart behind it. And so I'm using this area of Scripture to teach us a few things about gifting. So look with me, if you will, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to start in verse 5. Paul has already talked about him coming, and he's a reminder. But in verse 5, he says, therefore, I thought it necessary to exalt the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Give me your attention. I'm just going to real quickly go over three things that I think will help us be those gifters, those givers of good gifts, and have the right heart behind them this Christmas. That we don't remember gift giving as just this burdensome thing or this thing I have to do. I think that's one of the greatest tragedies in this time of year, is that we feel compelled that if someone gives me a gift, I have to give them a gift. Have you ever gotten a gift from somebody and you look at them, oh, I didn't get you anything? You feel bad, right? Well, the reality is, listen, the gift comes from the heart. It's not the thing. It's not the stuff. It's what's in the heart. And if someone wants to bless you with a gift, the best gift you can give them back is say, thank you very much. It's really the true heart of giving. And that's the first thing I see. Giving is from the heart. Giving is from the heart. Again, look at verse 7 with me. He says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of no necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. He purposes in his heart. It comes from the heart. It doesn't come from this time of year. And I would like to challenge us as Christians that giving is just not at Christmas time. Oh, it may be in excess at Christmas time, but are we a giving people all throughout the year? Do you know someone in your life that is just a very giving person? That for no reason whatsoever, they send you a card or give you a little something? You go over to their house for dinner and they have a gift for you? I mean, it's like, who does that? My wife does. She's a very giving person. It's who she is. It's from the heart. It's not like she's going to be embarrassed if she doesn't give you a gift when she comes over to our house. She just thinks about you and she prays it and she sees things and buys them. And they don't have to be big things. Small little tokens of appreciation from the heart. Gives as he purposes in his heart. It's an attitude. It's a preconceived thought that goes in. I'm thinking of someone and I'm going to think about something I can do to bless them. And not always does it have to be a physical thing. See, again, what Paul was addressing with his church, I need you to plan ahead. I'm letting you know we're coming, so make sure you're ready. So gifting, really, as Christians, is something that we plan to do. It's not an afterthought. It's not a, oh gosh, I forgot. I can't tell you the number of times I've gone shopping for my wife's birthday the day before her birthday. I'll be the one out here. I'm going to put myself out there. I have no problem with it. And I honestly have conversations with myself. How can you be so stupid? It's not like your birthday's on a different day every year, right? And it just came up out of nowhere. It's the same day. I've gotten better over the years, I will admit. Of course, I do have a crew of other women that are friends of hers that help me out, and I'm good with that. But ultimately, I have to get the gift. It has to be something from the heart. It's something you must plan on doing. See, the problem is we get so busy in life that we miss the opportunity to plan it. And then we get behind, and then we're just getting a gift just to get a gift. That's wrong. Again, from the heart. God gave from the heart, and so we must give from the heart. Because it's not what you give, it's how you give that's important. It's how you give. You know, I was thinking, as I was going through this message, I was thinking, you know, parents just love getting colored drawings that their kids make, right? I mean, look, Mom, look what I made for you. Guess what it is? That's got to be a hard thing, right? Guess what that is? I don't know what it is, honey. You tell me. But you put them up on the refrigerator, right? It's a great reminder because it's a beautiful thing. I don't want to say that. It has great value because your child took the time to make it. And so you want to put it on your refrigerator. I remember as a kid, I can't remember if it was kindergarten, I don't know when you do these things, or first grade or second grade, but the teachers sat us down, it was Christmas time, and they made us make these paper stockings, and then we glued things on them and sprinkles on them and all stuff, and then you would take them home and they would put them on your Christmas tree. It was the most ugly stocking I'd ever seen. But my parents would proudly stick that on the tree every single year. Later in life, I came to appreciate that they loved it so much because I gave that to them. It's not that it looked good. I wish I had it. My dad may have it. I don't know. But it's not the quality or the cost of the gift. It's the heart behind it. It's that heart of giving that we must have as Christians. Paul says, make sure you prepare your generous gift. It's not generous if it's a last-minute thing. No, it's something that is planned. It's something that we don't have to spend a lot of money on. It's something that you've taken time with. Some of the greatest gifts are the most inexpensive because someone took the time to do it. They maybe made it. They maybe put it together. It's the most cherished thing that we could ever have. And I believe one of the greatest gifts any of us in this room can give to our loved ones is time. It's time. We are such a busy people. We are all so busy working hard to make sure we have earn a living for our families, and we're doing a lot. But it's the time that we have to give to people. The time that we can sit down in this time of year and spend time with people. My three lovely nephews are right here in this room. And we've been having such a good time, have we not? You better say yes. It's just spending time with them. We've been doing this for the last three Thanksgivings, and we just have these wonderful times together. I won't tell you about the other times, but we have wonderful times together. I know your dad's watching, so I got to be nice. Maybe this year, just being with your friends and your family is a gift because you're too busy. You're working all the time. Again, we don't have to do anything. I have a saying, I would like to be bored sometime. I would like to sit in my house and actually have a thought, man, I'm so bored. I don't think we have that anymore, do we? It's like, oh, I've got to do this, and I've got to do that. There's too much. But there's just a time this year to just sit and be with your family. You are the greatest gift you can give to your loved ones. Not a thing, just you. Do that. What are you going to do this Christmas to make this Christmas a little bit extra special? Again, I think it takes planning. I don't think it just happens. What are you going to do? Start a tradition this year that you're going to carry through, that your kids will remember when they get older. You know, I remember growing up, my mom made a big to-do about putting up the Christmas tree. It was fake, but Bing Crosby was playing in the background. Apple cider, we drank that. It was wonderful. And we made a thing about it. It was a great memory for us. So what are you going to do this year to make a memory? We've been asking our nephews this week for Thanksgiving to go for walks. Once a day, we go for a walk. One reason we do it is because they don't like to do it. The most important reason, though, is we're spending time with them. We're going for a walk in the nature, outside. It's fun. And so we're doing those things. So maybe this year, go for a walk with your family or go for a car drive. You know, drive around, go down the Natchez Trace and look at the beautiful scenery around. I mean, take time to do what it is. Some of you like playing board games. Get around with family and play game night around the holidays. Finding those opportunities to spend time with your family. Those are the things that matter. Those are things that you're going to remember. The toys, the stuff, they're going to get thrown out, right? The clothes are going to get outgrown. Those are not what we remember. It's the times that we spend with our family. Giving is from the heart. Take time to think about it. The next thing I see is giving is up to you. It's up to you. It's not up to anybody else. Notice it says again in verse 7, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. Of necessity means you're not being forced to do it. It's one reason why here at Calvary Chapel we don't pass a plate. Because if we passed a plate around, by necessity you would feel the obligation to put some money in the plate. That's between you and God. Not grudgingly, not of necessity, not having to do it. Not, again, not doing it because someone else is going to do it to you. Oh, I got to get a gift for someone because they got me something. Is that the right heart? No. It's up to you, not others, what you give. No one can tell you what or how to give. That is completely up to you. And it's something that we just determine for ourselves. How do I want to give? How much has God given to you should be in perfect proportion of how much you give to others. I believe it's an evidence of the grace of God upon our lives, how generous and how gracious we are. For Lou and I over the years, I mean, it has just been amazing as we've watched God bless our lives. As we've continued to be giving people, he would give back to us. God always makes sure you have enough to give if you're a giving person. I believe people don't want to give, especially not a generous gift, because they're afraid they won't have enough for themselves. That's the greatest fear, right? I mean, especially in times that we live, who knows? Some people lose their jobs and then they don't have any money. But it's like, how much is God blessed? God will take care of you. Even in the midst of recession, depression, whatever it is, God will take care of you. Are you being generous as God is generous to you? Because I think that's important. And husbands, I'm going to give you a tip. You may already know this. If your wife ever says to you at the holidays or even her birthday, honey, you don't have to get me anything. Translation, you better get me something. I'm just telling you. How many years we've been doing it, babe? Probably the last 5. We say to each other, let's not get each other any gifts. Okay, we're not going to get, for sure this year. Definitely this year we're not getting any gifts. Then one of her friends, you better get her a gift. Why? Well, she got you something. Well, what? So if your wife says, honey, really, I don't want anything, better start shopping. They say, you want something. Doesn't have to be anything fancy, but just get them something. So here's the real. I am not good at gift giving, as I said earlier. I'm sure every single person in this room has heard of my t-shirt episode many years ago. Iron-on t-shirt, I did it, yep. It was a decal. Spelled the dog wrong, spelled the dog's name wrong, and she loves her dog, so. So I'm not a good gift giver. And I need a lot of help. And thank God she's got loving friends that help me. I mean, just yesterday somebody said, I've got something you can get for your wife for Christmas. I'm like, yes. But one thing I've learned over the years, actually in my phone I have a notepad, it says Lou Gifts. And throughout the year I try to pay attention. And try to find something that she would want that she doesn't normally get for herself, which is not easy. Most of you know. And I'll write down there, she wants, oh, that'd be a good blessing for her. So hopefully by the end of the year, there's something left on that list. But here, I say that to encourage people in here to plan. You know, it's up to you to do it. I'm grateful that there's friends that Lou has to tell me. I might be lying if I say that. I think somebody has actually purchased something for me and I gave them the money for it. But typically I go buy it myself or order it online, however it works. Yeah. But I mean, we have to do it ourselves. It's something that we must do. Giving is from us. Somebody else can't do it for us. And someone else can't tell us how. So maybe you have to keep a list to think about it. Because Christmas time comes, the stress of it, I'm like, oh, what does she want? I don't remember. I got to write it down. So maybe we do that. It's up to us to be gifts. Notice it also says in the beginning of verse 7, I think this is important, So let each one give. Let each one give. I believe the Bible is very clear that the Bible shows us very clear, God is a giving God, and God wants his people to be giving people. Let each one give. We're all to be givers. There is nobody in this room that is exempt from giving. You might think, well, I don't have enough money, or I don't have a job. You can do something. You can be a giving person, like I said earlier, just giving your time, just giving whatever it is. I think everyone needs to give. All are to give because God is a giving God. He wants us to represent him that way. So Christians, I believe, are giving people. Now, Jacob, if you would put up Luke 6:38, I think I have it in there, I hope. Notice this verse. I just love this. First and foremost, it says give. This is Jesus speaking. Just look at the first word, give. Jesus is saying, Christians, be givers. You give. I take that as almost a command. Okay, don't quote me on that. But here Jesus is saying, give. If you give, notice what it says, and it will be given to you. If you give, God's going to take care of you. That's why I say, has anybody ever experienced the ability to outgive God? Have you ever given so much that God says, man, I can't keep up with you. Slow down, bro. Doesn't happen. You cannot outgive God. If you are a vessel that God can use to meet some other people's needs or to bless other people, he will continue to make sure you have enough. Because look what it says. And it will be given to you, good measure, that means a lot, pressed down, you know how it is, shaken together and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Ever buy a bag of potato chips? And it's like, quarter of a bag of chips? You say, I bought a whole bag of chips. Why is there only a quarter bag of chips? Well, this verse says, listen, you make sure you give, and God's going to make sure your bag of chips is completely full. Shake in, duh. He's going to shake it up first. He's going to pack it in, flowing over. You're going to have so much, you might not even be able to give so much. Give quick enough to outgive God. That is the reality. If you give, it will be given to you. Like I said earlier, we're so afraid of giving because I got to keep something for myself. You are a child of a king. You are an heir to his throne. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he will give it to you as long as you pass it on. Your needs will be met if you just be a giving person. Now, I'm not here to tell you how to give. I'm not here to tell you what to give. I'm not here to tell you if you don't give $10,000 a year, then God's not gonna. I'm just saying, be a giving person. Be kind. Be kind. And this just reminded me of something that happened to me yesterday. I was in Starbucks working on my message. There was two gentlemen that I thought were talking. Turns out they were arguing. And apparently one of the guys, when he pulled into the Starbucks, he parked in the handicapped spot. Have you ever seen this? They get in the parking handicapped spot and walk out with no problem. Well, there was a dispute. There were words that were done. Long story short, within 30 minutes, the cops were there. It's like, people are just so... This poor woman next to me, she kept looking at me, I'm scared. I'm worried. Because this guy was, he was very cute. He'd leave, and then he'd come back in the store, yell at the guy, go back into the car. When the guy actually left, the guy was in the parking lot in his car. He followed him to get to his car. It's like, what is wrong with people? It's like, we're to love. And so I just look at this guy and go, are you really that upset? Because someone challenged you because you were parking in a handicapped spot? I mean, really? Is that the heart? It's like, but here's the thing. God loves that guy just as much as he loves us. And that's the attitude. Like, what is going on in your life that you're so angry and you're so upset that what you did was wrong, and when someone calls you out on it, you're going to, he called him every name in the book, in a Starbucks. In public. It was just shocking. Give and it will be given to you. Be a giving person. I don't care if somebody treats you wrong. I get frustrated when I walk in behind somebody and they don't hold the door for me. I mean, it's just a courtesy, isn't it? I'm not saying, I need my door held. I'm just saying, I'm walking in behind you. Do you see doors closing? I mean, I like to hold the door for people. I'm shocked. Most people are like, wow, thank you so much. Are people not doing this? I'm going to get on a rant here if I don't be careful. You cannot outgive God. And if that's the only thing you leave here with today, that's the best thing. Because you can try to outgive God, and he will make sure you've got enough to give. He will never disappoint you. Giving is from the heart. Giving is up to you. Nobody can tell you how to do it. Finally, and to me most importantly, giving is blessed by God. Giving is blessed by God. And that seems simple, but look at verse 8 with me again. And it says here, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance," notice, "for every good work." It doesn't say you're going to have an abundance for yourself. You're going to have an abundance for every good work. The more you give, the more God gives to you, meets your needs, and you'll be able to do more for him. Every good work, every good thing that God has, every opportunity that my wife so eloquently prayed over you guys, God will make sure you have everything you need for it. Every opportunity, enough, enough. Think about the people around you as Christmas time is coming. Think about your coworkers. Think about the people that you know at the grocery store or behind the desk. Think about those people and be mindful of it. How could I bless them? How could I let them know I appreciate the service that they give to me? Because they don't get compliments. They don't get thanks. I mean, certainly our police, our fire, our rescue, all of be thankful for those people. I don't know if I've ever shared this, but my wife and I went back to the fire station for the people that came to me first when I had my heart attack. And there was a guy there that had been there 30 years. I was the first person to come back and say thank you. That shocked me. What's that? Oh, it's crazy. 30 years he's been doing it. No one's ever come. Think about someone that is on the scene to make sure he's giving assistance, thank you. I love her. Medical assistance, thank you. And then take them to the hospital, drop them off, and never know what happens. Think about that. They would never know, did they live? Was my efforts good? Did they work? Never. 30 years. I said, when I found out that, I looked at all of them, I said, what you do is so very important. Thank you for doing it. And on behalf of everybody else that survived and didn't say thanks, I'm saying thanks to you. Thank you for what you do. Keep doing it. And I could tell in their eyes, they were so encouraged to see that their efforts made a difference. And that motivates. So one little thing that we can do, it wasn't that big of a deal. What did we do, babe? We brought, what, donuts to them? A box of donuts? Cupcakes? What was it? We brought cupcakes. Thank you so much. Got to shake their hands. It was just a small thing that we're able to do. And it blessed them and encouraged them to continue. I think that's important for us. Okay. Acts 20, verse 35, Jacob. This verse also helps us know that we're supposed to be giving people. Paul is writing to the elders at Ephesus, and to them he writes, "I have shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Many of us have probably heard this. If it wasn't for this verse, these words of Jesus, we would never know. They're not written in the gospel. But here the apostle Paul says, "I have shown you." Notice it says that. "I have shown you in every way." The apostle Paul didn't just say, "This is what you need to do." I'm not here to tell you, you need to be giving people. I'm going to be a giving person, and you're going to follow that example. And that's the same thing. Paul's saying, "I've shown you how to be giving. I've shown you how to be blessed in your life. I've done it myself. I've labored." That's what he's telling them. He goes, "I worked hard. I didn't take anything from you guys. I worked hard and provided for my own needs and was able to support others." He says, you need to do the very same thing, because don't forget what Jesus said. And I love this. The elders of Ephesus, the church of Ephesus, when Paul said this, it's not like Paul was saying, "Hey, don't forget what Jesus said to me privately." He's saying, don't forget what Jesus always was saying when he was here. It is more blessed to give than receive. That was the life of Jesus. That's why I believe it's the life of a Christian, to make sure we give. Don't miss this, though. It's more blessed to give. It is a blessing to receive, too, you know. Right? We all love to receive. We all love to get that gift. But it's more blessed. Greater blessing comes if you're a giver. When you give someone a gift and you watch them open it, or you watch them receive it, and you see how it impacts their life, you're blessed by that. I love small kids when they love going to give their parents a small gift. I mean, they're like, open it up, mommy. Open it up, you're going to love it. No matter what it is, if it's the worst gift, this is the best. And the kid's face lights up, right? It is more blessed to give, isn't it? Because you are giving love. The problem is, it is blessing to receive. The problem is, the world that we live in lives for this. And sad to say, some of the church live for that too. They come into the church and they're saying, what are you going to do for me today? How are you going to give me something? Listen, God's a giving God and He gives. He's a generous God. But let us not focus on what we're going to get when we walk into church or do life. Let us ask, how can I give? Because I know it's more blessed to give. I know it's more blessed for me to give to someone and to see the transformation, see the blessing in their life. Be a giving person. Paul says it's an example. I love the Message, how the Message Bible translates this. Jacob. The next verse, Acts 20:35 on the Message, yeah. You're far happier giving than getting. You're far happier giving than getting. That simplifies it. We are happier when we give. So let's exercise that. Let's practice that. Let us exercise the gift of giving this year and be focused on how I can communicate and share my love through my heart, myself, to others. Not focusing on what God's going to give me because I do it. Not looking for the reward. Not looking for the pat on the back, but just look, God, I want to be like you and I want to be giving. Let Him use you. Let Him show you how you can be like Him. Let's make sure when we go shopping this year, we keep the perspective right. It's about Jesus. Did any of you see this video on YouTube in the mall in Modesto on Black Friday? A full-out brawl started in the mall. Fist fight. I mean, and they got it all. I mean, you know, people's phones these days are got it, and they videoed it. I'm like, really? We're fighting? I mean, we see it every year, do we not? People ramming through the doors to make sure they get their TV. It's like, we're missing the heart of this. I know, hey, saving money's great, but let's not beat up each other for it. Again, the heart of giving. You know what? If someone's going to push me out of the way to get a TV, they need the TV a lot more than I do. Let them have it. Let them have the TV. It's on video, and it's just absolutely hilarious. Let's keep the proper perspective. Let's be those people that give. Again, Lord, give us the heart of giving, because that is your heart. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believed in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus came to give us life. Let us not let His death be in vain. He reigns yet. Let us live for Him and be giving people. And let's enjoy this holiday. Let's make it the most wonderful time of the year and not be stressed out. Father, we thank You for Your word. And I pray blessings over those who are here this morning. I pray, God, that You would give them the heart that is Your heart. A heart to give. God, You've given us so much. And even for some of us in this room that maybe don't have a lot, we already have so much more than so many other people on this planet. We must count our blessings. And as Thanksgiving has gone by, we have given You thanks for all that we have. Let us hold on to the things that we possess, the resources that we have, with loose hands, so that You can freely use them as You see fit. I pray that You would use us, God, as a church, to bless others. I think of Suzelle in Haiti right now. God, I pray that we would not forget that she is there and we would somehow bless her this Christmas, that she knows that we stand with her even though we still live here, that we are with her and we want to love on her. So God, use us. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts how we can be giving people, how we can bless our neighbors or bless somebody that we come in contact week in, week out. Let them know how much we appreciate them. And then let us love each other, family and friends. Let this Christmas be the most wonderful time of the year that we celebrate the birth of our Savior. To You be the glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.